Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Panchatattva Makam Krishnam. Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam. Bhaktavataram Bhaktyakyam. Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. This is verse 6 of chapter 7 in the Adilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, who has manifested himself in five as a devotee, expansion of a devotee, incarnation of a devotee, pure devotee, and devotional energy. Please repeat. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, who has manifested himself in five as a devotee, expansion of a devotee, incarnation of a devotee, pure devotee, and devotional energy. Purport Srila Prabhupada. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the immediate expansion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his brother. He is the personified spiritual bliss of Satchidananda Vigraha. His body is transcendental and full of ecstasy in devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore called Bhakta Rupa, the form of a devotee. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu is called Bhakta Swarup, expansion of a devotee. Sri Advaita Prabhu, the incarnation of a devotee, is Vishnu Tattva and belongs to the same category. There are also different types of bhaktas or devotees on the platforms of neutrality, servitude, friendship, parenthood, and conjugal love. Devotees like Sri Damodar, Sri Gadadhar, and Sri Ramananda are different energies. This confirms the Vedic Sutra, Parashya Shakti Vididai Visuryate. All these bhaktas, taken together, constitute Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself. Makam karoti vacha lam pangam laite grim yad kripa tamaham bande Sri Gurun dinatarinam. Panchatattva makam krishnam bhakta rupa swarupakam bhaktavataram bhaktyakyam namami bhakti shaktikam. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Krishna, who has manifested himself in five as a devotee, expansion of a devotee, incarnation of a devotee, pure devotee, and devotional energy. So this is Lord Chaitanya in five features, as Prabhupada has translated. So this Panchatattva is very deep, and it is also multi-layered understanding. In the earlier purport to the verse previous, there is also a very interesting commentary in the Anubhasya of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explaining this Panchatattva. And if we understand this, then we can understand the position of Advaita Acharya, whose appearance day is today. So of course, Sri Krishna, there is various potencies. Sri Krishna is Isha Tattva, he's Supreme Lord. And then Sri Baladev, his brother, is Purusha Shakti. So Krishna is both Prakriti and Purusha. On the right hand, Purusha Shakti, right hand, left hand as we look, Krishna expands as Baladev, and from Baladev all the Purusha Shakti, Purusha Tattva, Vishnu expansions expand. And on the left hand, Krishna expands as Swarup Shakti. Swarup means own form, his own intrinsic nature. The embodiment of all his energy, expanded energy, is Srimati Radharani. So we're familiar with that in when we see Krishna, Radha, and Baladev. So In the Panchatattva, there is another two expansions for our expanded understanding, and that is the expansion of Baladev in the form of Advaitacharya. Baladev in the Panchatattva is, of course, Nityananda Prabhu, and Krishna in the Panchatattva is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Srimati Radharani in the Panchatattva, of course, is Gadadhar Pandit, Bhakti Shaktikam. So, Advaita Chandra is incarnation of a devotee. He is the expanded or plenary expansion from the point of view of Krishna Tattva, of Mahavishnu, and is the expanded form of Baladev. And he is an expansion of Nityananda Prabhu. So he is, why is he incarnation of devotee? Because he also contains the element or personality of Rudra, Sadashiva. Mahavishnu is Advaita Chandra, and he is expanding from Baladev. So in the Panchatattva, Nityananda Prabhu is expanding as Advaitacharya, and from Mahavishnu expands Sadashiva for the function in the material world. In the creation of the material world, Mahavishnu is the efficient cause. It's called Nimitta. It means that he is the final explanation. Of course, Krishna, Vishnu Tattva, is the efficient cause of everything. So in ontology, philosophy, there is generally two divisions of cause. One is the efficient cause, meaning the root cause. So Mahavishnu is the root cause of the material creation. He expands as the pradhan. So also in ontology, there is a second cause, and that is the immediate cause. Like, for instance, the efficient cause, we might think, is our previous karma. The immediate cause of our birth is our mother and father. So you can separate causes in that way. One is the immediate cause, and one is the efficient cause. So, Lord Shiva is the glance of Mahavishnu, because Mahavishnu, though he is the efficient cause, he never touches the material energy. He touches the material energy through his glance. We've explained this in many classes, how the glance of Mahavishnu contains the Kala Shakti, contains the living entities, the destinations of the living entities in the form of their nascent karma, sleeping, dormant karma, which will be activated. And when that glance impregnates the material energy, Sri Durga Devi, who is an expansion of Sri Mata Radharani, then the deity of whom Lord Shiva is the deity or the function, the Ahankara, is created. When the glance agitates the material energy, then Ahankara comes up, and the Ahankara divides in three phases, as you know. The doer, the cause, and the effect. The mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. And out of the mode of goodness comes the mind, out of the mode of passion comes buddhi, ahankara in buddhi, and then buddhi gives birth to the 10 working senses and knowledge acquiring senses, and then ahankara functioning gives birth to the 10 gross elements in their subtle and gross form. So this is all done under ahankara. So Shambhu, Lord Shiva, Kala Shakti, is the efficient cause, the material mixing agent of the material energy, creating all the diverse categories and supervising the function of the living entities. So we also know from Shastra, Vaishnavayata Shambhu, that Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. And he, in Vrindavan, he is Gopeshwar. No one can enter the rest dance without the grace of Lord Shiva. He's also Dhameshwar. We have Gopeshwar here, and then there's Bhuteshwar in Mathura. And all around the dam, there's four digpals. They're expansions of Lord Shiva, and they protect Goloka and Gokula dams. So his function is as a devotee. He is causing the material element and supervising with Durga Devi, and ultimately Mahavishnu is expanding as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and then Shiradakshaya Vishnu expands as Paramatma, who is the Upadristra and the Anumanta, that means the overseer and permitter of the functions of the living entities. So he is a devotee. And only those that are without devotional sentiment and knowledge therefrom understand that the complications of the material energy over which Durga Devi and Shiva rule, only those without devotion think that this is actually a negative thing. The living entity conditioned in the material energy thinks in terms of good and bad, relative to himself. This is a dualistic interpretation. Actually, the Supreme Lord and Lord Shiva are always beneficent to the living entity. They are beyond the good and bad that is arising as the conditioned living entity interprets his life in the material world. He is always beneficent. So Lord Advaitacharya is a combination of Mahavishnu and Lord Shiva. And so he is particularly involved with the conditioned souls in the material energy. For that reason he called Lord Chaitanya. So the other side, so on one side of Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Chandra Prabhu, these are all Vishnu Tattva. And Lord Advaitacharya is considered the incarnation of the devotional energy, devotee. So on the left side is Godarda Pandit, who is the Swarup Shakti. Sri Sri Gorni Thai, Krishna Balaram, Radhasham Sundar, Lalit Vishaka, Shalagram Maharaj, Go Mata Ki, Jai. And so, she is the devotional energy and taking the form of Godarda Pandit in Krishna Leela. And she is always with Nityananda Prabhu, with Lord Chaitanya. And then, another tattva, Shakti tattva, is the Jiva tattva. And that is Srivas Pandit, who is Narada Muni. He is big brahmachari in Krishna Leela, so to speak, but he's married in Chaitanya Leela, Srivas Pandit, and so at Srivas Angam, so many pastimes of Lord Chaitanya took place. We'll mention some of them. And so he represents all the Jiva Tattva. So the Pancha Tattva, then on another level, you can understand, is the Isha Tattva, Krishna, the Purusha Shakti expansion, Lord Nityananda, and then Lord Shiva Mahavishnu as Advaitacharya, they are the Purusha. And then on the left side of Lord Chaitanya is the devotional energy, Srimati Radharani, and then the Jiva Tattva represented by Srivas Pandit. So this is the Pancha Tattva. And of course in his Anabhasya, in that purport, I read it last night, Lord Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada, he explains, this is a challenge to the monists. The foolish monists, with their poor fund of knowledge, think that the absolute truth is impersonal. No, this is nonsense. Actually, the absolute truth is Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Vigraha is form and personality. So Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. When he takes the mood of his Swarup Shakti, he wants to relish the taste of devotion. So he comes with all his Shaktis and Parshadas. There's that verse in the 11th canto, Krishna, Varna, Twisha Krishna, Sango Pangasya Parshadaya, yagye sankirtana praye yayanti hi sumedasa. So sumedasa means intelligent. So you become intelligent when you understand the tattva. Before we study the leela of Advaita Chandra, particularly today, we should understand the tattva. We should understand he's Mahavishnu, he's Lord Shiva, and as such he's particularly concerned with the living entities. As the efficient and material cause of their entanglement in the Maya Shakti. So he's very much at his soul wanting their liberation. So this tattva is very important, because if we are to understand Bhagavad Gita very easily, there's two stages. What is that? To attain prem. We all want prem. Mahaprabhu, the Panchatattva, they're coming to give prem. So, jnanavam mam prapajyante. Those that have knowledge, they surrender to Krishna. You understand? This is the first job of the spiritual master, is to give sambandha jnana, knowledge. Because if you have knowledge, then just like Arjuna said, krishyate tava vachanam. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, towards the end, Krishna said, do you understand now, Arjuna? And he said, Arjuna said, yes, I'm firm and free from doubt, and I'm ready, tava vachanam, to act according to your words. So when we have jnana, tattva jnana, philosophical understanding of the Supreme Lord and His energies, then we will automatically surrender. Just like in the 10th chapter of the Gita, the opulences of the Absolute are there. Krishna tells Arjuna all his opulences and all his shaktis, and in the 9th chapter, Rajavidya, Rajaguja, he gives all the knowledge of his position. And then Arjuna is ready to understand Krishna's position. It is okay to say, I believe in God, but do you know God? First you should have some knowledge. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you've come to give devotional service characterized by Vidya, which frees you from the Avidya Maya Shakti, and Vairag. You become detached from material endeavor if you have knowledge. So just sentimentally say, I know God and I believe in God, but do you know actually how great is God? So very important. And then once you have knowledge, Vasudeva Savamiti, and yet you understand the varieties of Vasudeva's shaktis, then you will prapadyante. You can surrender. You can turn your face to Krishna in knowledge, understanding. He is Paramatma. He is Mahavishnu. He is expanded at Lord Shiva. The living entities are His expansion. We should understand that. If we understand that all the living entities are actually expansions of Krishna. Sometimes we think, oh, avatar means somebody in the past. The dust. No! You're surrounded by avatar, jiva tattva. They're all expansion of Krishna. So when we understand that, then we can surrender to the Supreme Lord. And then from that surrender, by turning our faith, our face towards Krishna, we can develop devotional ecstasy, bhava. And then we can get prem. So this is very important. To have tattva jnana. And now, we will move speedily on to the leela of Advaita Chandra Prabhu. Now that you all know he's Mahavishnu and Shiva, and therefore, he's particularly, like I say, concerned for the living entities in his domain. So, this is a very nice book, this, Lord Chaitanya, His Life and Associates. And it is full of all sorts of quotations from the Shastra. And we're in the debt of Balava Tirtha Maharaj. He's the disciple of Madhva Maharaj in the Gaudiya Math, for creating this wonderful book. And so, we'll read from this book because it is all sorts of quotations and leelas. So, Gaura Ganadesha Deepika 7680. Sri Rama, who wrote the Gaura Ganadesha Deepika? The lamp light on the... That's right, Kavi Kanapur. It slipped my mind. So Kavi Kanapur, in that book, Gaura Ganadesha Deepika, the light on the associates of Lord Chaitanya, he gives much background information of the different associates and who they were in Krishna Leela and so on and so forth. So it's very interesting what he says, 76 to 80, like I say, about Advaita Chandra. The verse starts, Sa Rama Saha Gopala Krishno Nityati Yatnavan. Sada Shiva, an expansion of the Supreme Lord in Vraja, is here known as Advaitacharya. He is none different from Lord Chaitanya. In Vraja, he took the form of a cowherd boy and danced alongside Krishna. This is stated by Bhairava in the Shiva Tantra. Once, Bhairava is a devotee of Lord Shiva. Once during the Deepavali festival, in the month of Kartik, my guru, Shankaradev, Lord Shiva, saw Krishna dancing with Balaram and the cowherd boys. He then wished to become a cowherd boy himself. And Lord Shiva also takes a gopi form, made Srimati Radharani jealous, actually, because Krishna was dancing. But he also took a cowherd boy. He then wished to become a cowherd boy himself and began to dance, spinning like a whirling wheel for Krishna's pleasure. Thus, by Krishna's mercy, Sadashiva plays two different roles in Vraja. In one, he is Shiva himself, and in another, he is a cowherd boy. So they're very interesting, and this is very important to understand that. That ultimately, though we hear about Ganga Devi and Mahavishnu and Lord Shiva functioning in the material sphere, they also have root personalities in Golok. It's very, just like Ganga Devi. Yes, she is coming through the toe cracking of the universal covering, but she is also has a Manjari form in Golok. So, Advaita Tattva. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj quotes the evidence from the diary of Swarup Damodar. This is 1.1.12. Mahavishnu Jagat Karta Mayaya Yakshriyati Ada. That's the first line. Mahavishnu is the master of the universe, which he creates through his power of Maya. Advaitacharya is the incarnation of this form of the Supreme Lord. He is known as Advaita because he is none other than Hari. As Advaitacharya, he is the preceptor of devotion. I take shelter of the Supreme Lord, Advaitacharya, who is the incarnation of a devotee. Yes. So when Mahaprabhu was in his Nimai Pandit Leela, he was studying and arguing with the devotees, particularly Gadadhara Pandits mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Advaitacharya was the central pivot around which all the bhaktas in Navadvip and Shantipur formed themselves. Prior to, of course, Lord Chaitanya taking Diksha from Ishwarapuri. And this is also an important understanding, because Madhavendra Puri had three prominent disciples. This is explained by Baladeva Bidyabhushan in this beginning to the Govinda Bhasya commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And that is, those three prominent disciples is Nityananda Prabhu, Ishwara Puri, who became the Diksha Guru of Lord Chaitanya, and Advaita Chandra. And we'll further on we'll understand how Advaitacharya Madhavendra Puri. And therefore, because Lord Chaitanya took Diksha from Ishwarapuri, he always considered the godbrother of his spiritual master, Advaitachandra, as his spiritual master and worshipable personality. But this always, Advaita Chandra didn't like that, because I'm the devotee of Lord Chaitanya, but he's giving me worship. So later on we'll see the Leela, very wonderful Leela that took place. Yes, so in his Anubhasya 1.6.12, Lord Advaita Charya is Mahavishnu. This is written by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He is the supreme preceptor. Vishnu's activities are auspicious because of his existence as the owner and master of the universe. Ishavasya idam sarvam. This actually directly refers to Mahavishnu. He is the supreme preceptor. Vishnu's activities are auspicious because of his existence as the owner and master. He is the root cause of all auspiciousness. Anyone who cannot understand that he is the... Yeah, this is the... We talked about before. Anyone who cannot understand that the complications that are present in the material universe are beneficial in a way that is pure, eternal, complete, and free, is deprived of his true spiritual knowledge and activity in devotion to Krishna. Advaitacharya is also known as Kamalalaksha. So then there's also more tattva verses. I'll read them. This is from 1.6.12. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Advaita embodies universal welfare. He is the abode of all auspicious qualities. His activities are the eternal source of the world's well-being. So he was given the name Mangala. This is the name. Advaita, the abode of virtue, is a portion, angsa, of Mahavishnu. Because he is not different from Vishnu, Advaita is his most perfect name. Advaita means non-different. He is the noblest personality of the universe, the spiritual master of the Vaishnavas. He thus has two names that come together as Advaitacharya. Because in appearance he has eyes like lotus flowers, he also has the name of Kamalalaksha. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he wrote the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he is Vedavyas in Krishna Leela, has also described Advaita as both the foremost of the Vaishnavas and as Shiva. This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat. Residing in Navadvipa is the foremost and the most fortunate of all Vaishnavas, Sri Advaitacharya. He heads all spiritual masters in knowledge, devotion and renunciation. So he is considered the highest of them. He especially teaches devotion to Krishna in the same way that Lord Shankara did. That is Chaitanya Bhagavat. Advaita's appearance. So now we're going past the tattva, setting up the position of Lord Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya appeared in the village of Navagram near the city of Shailet as the son of Varendra Brahman Kubera Pandit and his wife Nabadevi on the seventh day of the waxing moon in the month of Magh. Kubera Pandit is identified in the Gaurav Ganadesha Deepika with the god Kubera, the treasurer of the demigods. So his father is treasurer of the demigods. And Nabadevi, his wife, she is worshipped in the whole world, for she is the mother of Advaitacharya. That's from the Bhakti Ratnaka. And also in the Bhakti Ratnaka, I'll read this. On the seventh day of the waxing moon in the month of Magh, the great ocean of joy overflowed. In that auspicious moment, the moon of Advaita descended in the blessed womb of Nabadevi. In his ecstasy, Kubera Pandit made gifts to the Brahmins and to the poor. He tiptoed to the birthing room and his heart was filled with gladness upon seeing his son's face. All the villagers came running to his house and said to each other, "What pious works did this Brahmin do that in his old age he has been blessed with such a jewel of a son? The gods rain down flowers without being seen. There is nothing with which this scene can compare." Ghanisham sings of this great auspicious occasion when a joyous uproar rang around the earth. So that's right, Kubera Pandit and Nabha Devida, they were quite advanced in age. It's very similar to Nanda Maharaj when Krishna was born. In the Gaudiya Vaishnava Abhidhana, Advaita's birthplace is given as Lora. It is also said that Advaitacharya left Lora to reside in Shilet and from there moved to Shantipur. He also had a home in Navadvip. So he had a home actually also in Navadvip. Shantipur is a bit down the river and Ganga, and he had a home very near Srivasangam. His full name was Sri Kamalaksha or Kamalakanta Veda Panchanam. His birth took place, this is his birthday, 1434 AD. So Mahaprabhu appeared, they say, 1486. And he disappeared in the year 1559 at the age of 125. The Advaita Vilas confirms this. The Lord Advaita remained on this earth for a century and a quarter, performing unlimited pastimes. So he was born long before Mahaprabhu and then he remained quite a bit later, about 30-40 years later. So if you want to read more detail, this is a reference here for the life of Advaitacharya. You can read the Advaita Mangal, Advaita Vilas, and the Sita Charitra. The great Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also wrote several Sanskrit poems glorifying Advaitacharya. Advaita Dwadasa Nama Stotra, Advaita Ashtakam, and Advaita Stotra Sata Nama Stotra. So, now we'll get into the life. You see, his parents, Kubera Pandit and Nabha Devi, they were quite advanced. So when Kubera Pandit and Nabha Devi disappeared, Advaita went to Gaya on the pretext of performing the appropriate rituals of mourning and thence continued on a pilgrimage of all India's holy places. So when his parents passed away, he went to Gaya to perform the ceremonies, and then he travelled all over India. When he came to Vrindavan, he became absorbed in the worship of Krishna. There's many temples down by the side Jamuna Ghat you can visit, and they have deities of Advaita Chandra because he stayed in that region. But through his meditation was able to understand, yes. So when he was in Vrindavan, he could understand Krishna is going to appear in the form of Gauranga in Navadvip. So he returned then to Shantipur. On the way, he stopped in Mithila, that's in present-day this state of Indra Mithila, where he met the poet Vijayapati. This encounter is beautifully described in Advaita Vilas. Advaita Prabhu finally returned from Vrindavan to Shantipur after spending several days in Navadvip. The people of Shantipur had been suffering from his separation for a long time and were very happy to see him again. So now Advaita knew, Lord Chaitanya is going to appear. So he returned from his pilgrimage. Lord Vishnu also accompanied by three aspects, Shri, Bhu and Nila. These are, Shri is Lakshmi Devi, Bhu is Bhu Devi, who is in charge of the Bhu Mandala particularly and the material energy, and Nila is also called the Leela Shakti. So Mahaprabhu's first wife was Lakshmi Priya, that is Shri Devi. And she left when she couldn't bear the separation from Lord Chaitanya when he went to the Padmavati River for pilgrimage. So some people, then he married Vishnu Priya, who is a combination of the Leela Shakti and Bhule. And some people say, well, how is that that she was able to remain when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas? The explanation is that she is Bhudevi, deity of the material section. So she was very happy actually in one element of her personality, that Lord Chaitanya has gone traveling and is staying in Puri to liberate all the living entities in the Bhumandala and the material universe through his Leela. So she was able to maintain her status within the material energy, so to speak, because she was happy that Lord Chaitanya was liberating all the energy. Whereas Lakshmi Devi just couldn't bear the separation and immediately returned to her original situation. So, where was I? Yes. Advaita Acharya's own divine persona would not fully manifest without all these aspects. So you see, those aspects of Lord Chaitanya are repeated also in Advaita Chandra, because he's also Vishnu Tattva. Therefore, Advaita Acharya accepted two wives. One was named Sri and the other Sita. Both appeared as daughters of the great Brahmin devotee Sri Nrisimha Bhaduri. In the Ganadasha Deepika, it is written that the divine Yogamaya took the form of Advaita's wife Sita, that is the Leela Shakti, and Sri is her Prakash expansion. Advaita Acharya had two residences, one in Shantipur and the other not far from Srivas Pandit's home in Navadvip. His heart was greatly pained at seeing the people of the world, that they were devoid of any devotion to Krishna. Because Navadvip at that time, as you'll read in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it was a seat of learning. But all the so-called pandits, they were all teaching monism, gyan, karma. But devotion to Krishna was practically forgotten. But Advaita Chandra was surrounded by the Krishna bhaktas in Shantipur, and he was always plotting, how is it that these living entities entangled in the material energy can be liberated? We need an incarnation. We need the descent of the Supreme Lord himself. So he used to teach in Shantipur the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and every verse he would draw the devotional conclusion out. The Bhagavad Gita is in three sections, karma, bhakti and jnana, but they all point the way to bhakti ultimately. And Advaita Chandra, he would draw that bhakti conclusion in every explanation of the verse. And that is very similar to our own wonderful founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, because if you read his Gita, he always interprets the verse from the devotional perspective. And that is the true understanding. That is not artificial. That is the true understanding, because in all the Vedas, devotion to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is taught. And only those with a lesser vision emphasize karma and jnana. So, at the same time, this is very interesting, this, because this is how Advaita Acharya met his guru, Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri, you all know. At the same time, Madhavendra Puri had a dream in which Govardhanadhari Gopatal, because he discovered the Govardhan deity on the top of, and he had been buried there, and he wanted sandalwood paste. So he sent Madhavendra Puri, go to Puri, they have very nice Malayan sandalwood, and bring some sandalwood, because I've been buried here, you know, to hide from the Muslims and all that. And I need some sandalwood, I'm overheated. So Madhavendra Puri had a dream, and Giri Govardhan actually the name given here is Govardhan Dhari Gopal, commanded him to find the sandalwood paste. Then Madhavendra Puri started for Puri, taking the road through western Bengal. While there, he stopped at Advaitacharya's house in Shantapur. And then Advaita became convinced that Madhavendra Puri was his guru. When he saw the devotional ecstasy of Madhavendra Puri, because Madhavendra Puri, he is not exactly the origin, but he first manifested Krishna prema in a fully manifest, exhibited function in the Sampradaya. So he was always in Krishna prema and controlling ecstasy and trying to function in this world. So Advaitacharya saw his spiritual status and this is my spiritual master. When Advaitacharya saw Madhavendra's prema, he felt a deep inner joy. He took great care to receive a mantra from him, after which Madhavendra left to continue his voyage to the south to get the sandalwood paste. That's from Chaitanya Charitamrita 2.4.110. It is said that Mahaprabhu, this is the understanding, you can understand this, a little complex, but listen carefully. It is said that Mahaprabhu is the main trunk of the wish-fulfilling tree of devotion, as well as the gardener who enjoys and distributes the tree's fruits. Though the tree was planted in Navadvip, it grew in Purushottam Dham Puri and Vrindavan, expanding into an entire orchard production, producing many fruits of love. Madhavendra Puri is said to be the first seedling, the seedling when the seed sprouts, which eventually grew into this tree. Ishwara Puri was the sprouted form of this seedling. Mahaprabhu, though himself the gardener, also became the tree's main trunk through his inconceivable energies. Advaita and Nityananda were the two secondary trunks into which the main trunk divided. So then, Advaitacharya, he was initiated, and it is explained here that seeing the fallen condition of the pandits and the condition of the living entities in the material world, he wanted to call the Lord. So I'll read this one from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. He constantly served Krishna with great enthusiasm, offering Ganges water and Tulsi Manjaris. Absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he worshipped him by roaring his name, the sound of which filled the entire universe, reaching up to Vaikuntha. Lord Krishna heard the sound of these roars of love and made himself visible to humanity, for he is controlled by his devotee. That's from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Nityananda Prabhu also descended prior to Mahaprabhu's appearance on the 13th day of the waxing moon in the month of Magh. He appeared in the family of Harai Pandit and Padmavati in the village of Ekachakra in Radha, bestowing upon them the opportunity to serve him in Vatsalya Ras. Meanwhile, 8 daughters were born to Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, all of whom died before their son Vishwaroop, Nityananda's other self. Vishwaroop was the expanded form of Nityananda, took birth. Subsequently, on the full moon evening of the month of Phalgun, the source of all avatars, Gaurachandra, made his appearance. After the appearance of Sri Chaitanya, Sita Devi took Advaita's permission to come with gifts to Navadvipa from Shantipur to see the wonderful child, and she put kusha grass and durva grass and rice upon his head. So, Lord Advaita Chandra, you can, in the book we published there, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, you can see a photo of the actual Nisringa Shalagram that Advaita Chandra worshipped on the bank of the Ganges to call Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya has arrived now. And at the same time, Advaita Chandra, this is, of course, Advaita Chandra, Nimai Pandit, he's a very small child. At the same time, simultaneously, Advaita Charya established a toll, that's a school, for teaching Sanskrit in Navadvip Mayapur and started to engage in a deep study of the scriptures. Every day after bathing in the Ganga, Mahaprabhu's older brother, Vishwaroop, used to go to Advaitacharya's house to listen to the lectures. On certain occasions, when Advaita was engaged in performing his puja, Vishwaroop would explain to everyone present there that devotion to Krishna was the ultimate purport of all the scriptures. When Advaita heard him speaking in that way, he was very pleased with Vishwaroop. And he got up from worshipping his deity and embraced Vishwaroop. Sachi regularly sent little Nimai at noon with something for Vishwaroopa's lunch. When Advaita Prabhu saw Nimai's beautiful face, he became enchanted, but was unable at this point to recognize him as his worshipable Lord, Sri Krishna, Gauranga. In the meantime, Vishwaroop had secretly decided, yes, this caused a bit of trouble later on, he decided to take sannyas after hearing from Advaita Chandra. In the knowledge that the material world is temporary and that a human being's only real duty is to worship the Lord. When he saw that his parents were starting to make wedding plans for him, he quickly left home and took sannyas and became known by the name of Shankaranya. Sachi Devi, Jagannath, Mishra and other devotees all lamented this loss. Advaita was pained by Vishwaroop's departure, but pacified everyone by saying that Krishna himself would appear soon to eradicate everyone's distress. So when Vishwaroop, everyone loved Vishwaroop, when he left, Advaita Chandra said, "Don't, Krishna will come and then you won't feel so much loss." After Vishwaroop left home, Sachi and Jagannath feared that Nimai, this is also similar other leelas, would follow his example. So Sachi Devi was saying, my one son has gone, taken sannyas, and now Nimai, he's also going and seeing this Advaita Charya, and he may also become a sannyasi. So they put a stop to his education. They stopped. Nimai, you can't go to see Advaita Chandra. And at this point, this is when Mahaprabhu and Nimai Pandit, Nimai, he started speaking in the words of Dattatreya, monism. He spoke very sweetly. It's all one. There's no difference between the pots and the this and the that. And he was speaking impersonal philosophy. And this was his trick. And then Jagannath and Sachi Devi, they thought, we better send him to Vishwaroop. He's becoming a monist. We better send him to Advaita Chandra after all. So then Mahaprabhu was then sent again for education with Advaita Chandra. Yes. So while Mahaprabhu was then studying, Sachi Devi arranged for his marriage to Lakshmi Priya, the daughter of Balabha. In those days, Advaita was holding Bhagavat lectures and kirtan at his house in Navadvip. All the devotees, including Advaita, were very enthused about the singer Mukunda Dutt's fine voice. On one occasion, Ishwarapuri came to Advaita's house, that is Advaita's godbrother, while visiting Navadvip. From his vigorous appearance, Advaita was able to recognize that he was a Vaishnav sannyasi. Later, Gauranga also met Ishwarapuri there, and Ishwarapuri became the Diksha Guru of Mahaprabhu. At that time, Ishwarapuri arrived in Navadvip in a most discreet manner. He came to Navadvip, though Advaita Chandra recognized him as a great devotee, of course, he was his godbrother. He didn't come dressed as a sannyasi. He became in a very quiet way. Ishwarapuri was single-minded in his constant preoccupation for relishing Krishna devotion. He was dear to Krishna and compassionate. No one was able to recognize him because he was not dressed as a sannyasi. Until he arrived at the house of Advaita Chandra, then they could understand, because Advaita revealed the status of Ishwarapuri. So, at this point, Mahaprabhu is growing up, and he also goes to Gaya on pilgrimage. When Gauranga returned from Gaya, his mood had changed. Because he had met Ishwarapuri there in Navadvip, he met him again in Gaya and took Diksha. And after taking Diksha from Ishwarapuri, then his pastimes as Nimai Pandit, always talking Naya and arguing and defeating and this and that, you can read Chaitanya Bhagwa, it's very interesting. Then he came back as a devotee. He didn't want to argue the fine points of logic. He was immersed in Krishna Bhakti after initiation in Gaya by Ishwarapuri. And this was the fulfillment of all the devotees. Because when Nimai Pandit was pursuing his pastimes as a scholar, all the devotees were thinking, when will he become a devotee? All the devotees that were around Advaita Chandra, when will he manifest devotion? He's so charismatic, he's so wonderful. Why is he interested in all this word play, this Naya? Of course that was his pastime. So when he returned, he was overwhelmed with devotion. His mood had changed. Advaita, Srivas and other devotees were overjoyed to see that he had become a devotee. In due course, Nityananda Prabhu arrived in Navadvip after having toured the sacred pilgrimage sites. So while this was all going on, Nityananda Prabhu was wandering all over India, going to holy places, rather like Baladev during the Mahabharata war. And there's a famous thing in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. One time he met Buddhists in the forest, meditating on the void, and he became so infuriated he kicked them on the head and chased them through the forest. So don't meditate on the nothing. It's not there in the first place anyway. Or else you may get kicked on the head. On the eve of this, So when Nityananda Prabhu came back, Gauranga at this point was immersed in the mood of a devotee, and he saw Nityananda as Guru, because as we said earlier, Nityananda Prabhu is Adi Guru, is Baladev. So when he returned from all the pilgrimages to Navadvip, Mahaprabhu, now as a great devotee, wanted to perform his Vyas Puja. He is the Adi Guru. So they had a big ceremony in Srivasangam. Yes. On the eve of this puja, Mahaprabhu showed everyone that Nityananda was Baladev, and then repeating the words Nara Nara, revealed that Advaita had caused him to descend to earth by calling him. So at this point, Mahaprabhu revealed, yes, I am that manifestation of the Supreme Lord that Advaita Chandra has been calling to spread bhakti. This was on the eve of the Vyas Puja of Nityananda. It's in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It is due to Advaita that I have become incarnate, because Nara's roars rang in my ear. I was lying in the milk ocean, but Nara's roars woke me up and brought me down here. So, yes, Lord Shiva, you can imagine, he was roaring. So, Lord Chaitanya said, I was lying in the milk ocean, in the Dhruvalok Polsta, and I was woken up. Now that does not mean that you have to shout very loudly for your prayers to be heard. Even the most quiet prayer Krishna can hear within the heart. But in his Leela, he's emphasizing the potency of Mahavishnu and Advaita Acharya. So I was woken up. Oh, who's calling me? I'm relaxing with Lakshmi Devi. And look what's going on. After the Vyas Puja had come to an end, Mahaprabhu, this is the Mahaprakash Leela. Mahaprabhu took on the mood of the Supreme Lord and sent Ramai Pandit, this is Srivas Pandit Nityananda and all the devotees with Lord Chaitanya in Srivas Angam. But Advaita Chandra wasn't there, so Mahaprabhu said, bring Advaita Chandra, he has called me. And it is very interesting, after the Vyas Puja, worshipping the Guru, Nityananda Prabhu, then he manifested his real quality. So that is instructive for us. Yasya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada. When we worship Sri Guru, then we manifest our real swarup as Krishna Bhakta. So Mahaprabhu manifested his real form as the Supreme Lord after worshipping Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Chaitanya sent Ramai Pandit, who is Srivas Pandit's brother, to fetch Advaita, calling him, you've called me, now I'm calling you. Advaita Prabhu has brought Hari, the Lord of Goloka, to this earth by his cries and by worshipping him with Ganges water and Tulsi. Nityananda Prabhu also made his appearance, so Advaita Chandra and his wife should immediately come from Shantipur to Srivas Angam, bringing all the paraphernalia for worship. Ramai promptly carried out Mahaprabhu's order and took his message to Advaita Prabhu. So Advaita Prabhu, he heard, Lord Chaitanya is calling me, but let me test him. So he said, he went with Sita Devi and he hid in the house of Nandanacharya, also in Navadvipa. And he said, I will test him. If he is actually the Supreme Lord, the Super Soul of all living entities, he'll know. So Gauranga, he said, go and call Advaita Chandra. He is hiding in the house of Nandanacharya. So when Advaita realized, yes, then he came to the Srivas Angam. So in the company, Advaita joyfully prostrated himself before the Lord, speechless, before the manifestation of the Lord's divine power. This is the Mahaprakash Leela, when Lord Chaitanya revealed that he is the source of all avatars and the source of all potency, the source of all rasa, in front of all the devotees. And he called all the this is very important, he doesn't mention it in the text here. Yes, and then he called all the devotees and explained their relationship to him in Krishna Leela. And he insisted that they all take a boon. All the devotees said, we're satisfied. But Mahaprabhu said, no, for my happiness you take some benediction. So he called Advaita Chandra and he commanded him to dance. Just like we saw at the beginning there, Advaita Chandra used to dance as a cowherd boy for Krishna. So everyone was enthralled by the wonderful dancing of Advaita Chandra. And Advaita Chandra is stated here, started to dance like a madman until he was completely intoxicated and astonished all the devotees. Yes, so then Lord Chaitanya, he called Advaita, it's not written here, but it's there in the Chaitanya Bhagwa. He called Advaita Chandra and he said, now Advaita, you must take a boon. But Advaita Chandra said, no, I don't want anything. You've already fulfilled my desire by appearing to liberate all the living entities. And please just give me your mercy. And Lord Gauranga said, you're always getting my mercy. So now I order you. You must ask a specific boon just to please me so that I can benedict. So this, and we can understand the Supreme Lord. He likes to give benedictions to his devotees, but the devotees are so satisfied they don't require. But they may accept benedictions to satisfy the Lord, because the Lord's heart is generous to the devotees. So Advaita Chandra then, he said that, then I will ask this. I said, you become Patita Pavana Hetu. You become the savior of the most fallen. Anyone, no matter how fallen they are, you give him their mercy. But on the other hand, those that are puffed up with false knowledge and so-called high birth, then, and are proud, then don't give them your mercy, because they are aparadis. So Advaita Chandra was saying that because he could see that in Navadvipa at this time, all the monists and the karmakandis and the jnanis, they were offenders to Krishna. So he said, don't give your mercy to the proud, full of false learning, but give your mercy to the most fallen. Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar, Narottama has written. So that is particularly important. Of course, anyone can get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they should not be puffed up thinking that my mundane education, birth, beauty, wealth is some kind of qualification. But they should go to Mahaprabhu, nam namaskaru, in a very humble state of mind. And then they will get the full mercy. So then there's a talk about here, Advaita Chandra and Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. This is a very important point. And Advaita Chandra was once performing the Shraddha, or the ceremony, to the forefathers. So the guest of honor is given the first prasad after the offering. So Advaita Chandra, he was surrounded by all the big Brahmins and so on and so forth, and he chose Namacharya, Haridas Thakur, to take the Shraddha. But Namacharya, Haridas Thakur, he chanted 3 lakhs every day. He appeared in a Muslim family. He was born in Bordwan. He was very nervous, but he explained, no, you are the greatest personality. And all the devotees agreed. And Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur took that. Haridas Thakur is incarnation of Lord Brahma and Prahlad Maharaj. Lord Brahma, in Krishna Leela, he had challenged the potency of Krishna in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, in the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. He snatched away the cowherd boys and hid them. And then he saw they were returned. So he saw the potency of the Supreme Lord, and he saw that his own potency was insignificant. So he prayed to the Supreme Lord that when you appear as Gauranga, may I not become proud. So the arrangement of the Supreme Lord was that Mahatapa Brahma, he took birth as the son of one Rishi, Rikchika Rishi. And he was the son of Rikchika Rishi. And one day he picked some tulsi leaves, and he offered them to the Krishna deity. But his father, Rikchika Muni, was very disturbed Because you've offered Tulsi to Krishna, but not washed them first. So in your next life, you'll be born as a Malecha. Of course, this is the arrangement. So Lord Brahma, who had taken birth in a special way as the son of Richika Muni, then took birth as a Muslim, Malecha. Similarly, Lord Namacharya is incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj, and he was took birth in the family of Dhanavas. So this is the Lord's illustration, and it also combines with the idea of Lord Chaitanya's Patita Pavana Hetu, that birth has no caste and creed, has no consequence in the Vedic religion ultimately. It is a matter of knowledge and surrender to the Supreme Lord, and particularly surrender to the Holy Name. So often, like we say, you must get Krishna Tattva and then you must surrender to Krishna. So in Kali Yuga, surrender to Krishna means surrender to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In Kali Yuga, Harinam is Guru, it is the sadhana, it is the sadhya, the goal, it is everything. It is the Pitita Pavana, it is Lord Chaitanya, everything in Kali Yuga. So, and also similarly, Hanuman is also Rudra, Lord Shiva, and he is appearing in the family of monkey, but he's the greatest devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So it is called Naraka Buddhi. That if you look at a Vaishnav in terms of birth and karma, then you are a resident of hell, because you're not seeing from the spiritual point. So this is exemplified in the fact that Advaita Chandra Prabhu chose Haridas Thakur to take the first prasad. So then the sons of Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya, he had six sons. Achyutananda, Krishna Mishra. Here they are, they're written down. Achyuta, Krishna Mishra and Gopal Mishra, and he also had three other sons, Jagadish, Swarup and Balaram. And so the three, Krishna, Achyutananda and Gopal, they accepted Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Lord. But the other three didn't accept Lord Chaitanya. They saw their father Advaita Chandra as the Supreme and Lord Chaitanya as the devotee of Advaita Acharya. They didn't understand that Lord Chaitanya was playing this leela worshipping Advaita Chandra as his superior. They didn't understand that. So they became rejected in the line and took to monistic philosophy. So this is a very important point, that if we reject the supreme position of Lord Chaitanya and think that he is the devotee of Advaita Chandra, though he was the devotee of Advaita Chandra because Advaita Chandra was the godbrother of his guru, then we're not seeing properly. We're not seeing that Gauranga is the Supreme Lord. Yes, this is a quote here from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada. If someone takes Advaita Chandra to be the best of all Vaishnavas, then he can be called a Vaishnav. On the other hand, if someone considers him to be the object of all religious life, the Supreme Lord, the Vishayi Krishna, and Krishna Chaitanya, his devotee, or Ashraya, then he will never be able to attain Krishna's lotus feet. So this also applies to the Shiva Bhaktas. If they consider that Lord Shiva is higher than Lord Vishnu, then they can never attain pure transcendental life. So this leads into another point in Advaita Leela, and Advaita Chandra, he was always upset by this, that Lord Chaitanya is worshipping me as the guru, as superior, because I am the god brother of his spiritual master, but I am his servant. I don't want to be treated in this way. I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord he determined then that just like Bhrigu gathers around him, Bhrigu Muni gathers around him many, many disciples, I will gather around me disciples and I will teach yoga for Sishta, and that the path of mental speculation, empirical knowledge is the sadhana and the goal is mukti. And in this way Lord Chaitanya will chastise me for deviating from the devotional path. So this is what Lord Chaitanya actually did. He started to teach Yoga Vasishtha that mukti was the ultimate goal of life. When Lord Chaitanya heard this in Navadvip, he came very furious, and he actually, it is explained there, they actually beat Advaita Chandra. He said, why are you deviating from the Krishna Bhakti? And then Advaita Chandra was overjoyed. He said, oh, this is wonderful. I'm being chastised and beaten by the Lord. I'm being treated like a servant. And he was overjoyed. So it's explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat that when this happened, Lord Chaitanya realized this trick of Advaita Chandra. He became very embarrassed, and at the same time he became very happy to see Advaita Chandra's happiness. So then this also goes on now to Sachi Devi and Advaita Chandra. Sachi Devi had within her heart also, she within her mind she used to think Advaita Chandra is not Advaita, he's Dvaita. Dvaita means division, because he has divided me from Vishwarup, and now Lord Chaitanya is also got my son Nimai is also going to take sannyas. So his name should not be Advaita, which means oneness. His name should be Dvaita, division. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing the Mahaprakash Leela, manifesting his divine potencies for 21 hours in Srivasangam, the devotees asked, let us call Sachi Devi so that she can also see. But Lord Chaitanya said no. She is an offender to Advaita Chandra. So when Sachi Devi heard this, she immediately went to Advaita Chandra and begged his forgiveness. Now this teaches us that if you have bad feeling towards a great Vaishnava or any Vaishnava, then Lord Chaitanya will not be munificent towards you. So Advaita Chandra, she begged Advaita Chandra, please forgive me for my offense. Coming from my womanly name, she was giving so many entreaties. But Advaita Chandra started to praise Sachi Devi. You are the Supreme Lord has taken birth through your womb. She's manifested through you. You are the mother of the universe. How I can actually offer the dust of my lotus feet? Because Sachi Devi wanted to eradicate the offense by taking the dust from the feet of Advaita Chandra. But Advaita said, no, this is impossible. How can you touch my feet? And he started to praise Sachi Devi, and he started to dance in ecstasy, praising Sachi Devi. And then in the middle of the dance, becoming so ecstatic, he fell unconscious. And then Sachi Devi took the dust from his feet and felt relieved from the offense. So these are the pastimes of the Supreme Lord and his associates. Then she went and saw the Mahaprakash Leela. Yes. So, shall I continue? Verona, yes? There's no breakfast now anyway. Yes, so Advaita Acharya, he would also meet with all the devotees. Lord Chaitanya then at this point, after the Mahaprakash Leela, he returned to his mood as Gauranga, and they would have kirtan in the house of Srivas Angam. This was before the Sankirtan in the street, which started when the Chandkazi started to get upset. So, they Advaita Chandra would also take part in the nocturnal kirtan and leelas in Srivas Angam. So at this point, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas from Keshav Bharati. And after taking sannyas, Gauranga, he became overwhelmed with devotional ecstasy and he started to run towards Vrindavan. So at this point, Nityananda and some cowherd boys, they conspired to trick Mahaprabhu to consider that here is, you have achieved Vrindavan, here is Vrindavan, and here is the Jamuna. And Mahaprabhu then crossed the Ganga and found himself in the house of Advaita Chandra in Shantipur. And this way they stopped. This was the first attempt of Lord Chaitanya to go to Vrindavan. And then in Shantipur, Sachidevi and everyone came and they entreated Lord Chaitanya, please go to Vrindavan at another time, but now you've taken sannyas, you will not stay in your birthplace, please remain in Purushottam, in Nilachal, in Puri. And there, because the Bengali Vaishnavs used to go back and forward, then Sachidevi will be able to keep in touch with you. So Lord Chaitanya then agreed, and he went to take up residence in Puri. So it was at this time that the devotees, in the third year of Lord Chaitanya's residence there, they used to go every year for Chaturmasya and come from Bengal and stay with Lord Chaitanya in Puri during the period of Chaturmas, like I say, and the Rath Yatra. And then at this time they would have unlimited pastimes. And Advaita Chandra was the leader of the devotees, the Bengali Vaishnavas, from Navadvip and environs, going to Puri. So, there's one good quote here. In the last 24 years of his life, Mahaprabhu, 6 were traveling and 18 he stayed. So during the 6 years when he was traveling, the Bengali Vaishnavas would find out, is he now in Puri, and travel to Puri at that time to meet him. So then it became a permanent event during the 18 years when Mahaprabhu was there. So then, Advaita Chandra, like I say, he was the leader of all the Vaishnavas coming to see Mahaprabhu. And there's one story about one disciple of Advaita Acharya. This is very important, this. His name was Kamalakant Vishwas. And Kamalakant, he wrote, because Advaita Acharya was very generous. He was always supporting all the Vaishnavas in Shantipur, Navadvip, financially and giving them cloth and food. So he had developed in the marketplace a debt, financial debt. So he, Advaitacharya, he had one disciple called Kamalakant, Vishwas. So he wrote, when they were in Puri at this time, he wrote to the king of Puri, and he said, he wrote so many scriptural references proving that Advaitacharya was Mahavishnu and Lord Shiva. And he said, please, you're the king, you pay off the debt of Advaitacharya. So when Advaitacharya heard this, he was very disturbed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he was very disturbed. I'll read this section. This action was very displeasing to Mahaprabhu. Even though Advaitacharya is the Supreme Lord himself, he is in this world playing the part of a man in order to teach. For an acharya to go begging to a king in order to free himself from a debt is considered shameless behavior. One should entirely abandon the desire for material gain, and if the desire for material well-being is taken to the point of begging from a foreign king in order to become free of a debt, then one's spiritual life will certainly go to ruin. Kings are by nature materialistic. If one eats the food of a materialistic person, his mind becomes clouded over. When one's mind is clouded over, he can no longer remember Krishna and his life is wasted. And this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Such begging from materialistic men is therefore prohibited for everyone, but it is especially prohibited for somebody who is in the position of an acharya. It is the acharya's duty to instruct people in the holy names, but he should not take money in return for such instruction. Huh? If he does so, he becomes an offender to the holy name, rather than an initiator in the name. If an instructor of the holy name becomes a money collector, then it is a matter of shame, and his religious reputation will be ruined. So this is a very important point. Devotees, having so much knowledge of Krishna Nam, Srimad Bhagavatam, but if they charge money for instruction in the Bhagavatam and the Holy Name and the Gita, then they become worse than a prostitute. A prostitute sells the body, but if a devotee sells knowledge, then he's lower than a prostitute, because he's only a selling offense. So then, in the third year when the Bengal, this is a very important point, one should never propagate the holy name or the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to collect money. Then this is terrible offense. In the third year when the Bengali devotees came with their wives and gifts, they came with many preparations, the Lord ate all the preparations. Sachi Devi sent many preparations made with Kerala, powdered Kerala, because she thought they're feeding Nimai too much. He'll get stomach disturbance. So she would make all sorts of medicinal Kerala preparations so that he would not get a disturbance of the stomach. But Mahaprabhu, he could eat the whole universe, but still in the Leela, of course, this sentiment. So one time, this is also famous, all the devotees, they would invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one time though, Advaita Chandra, he wanted to just serve Mahaprabhu by himself. So on that day, when he was wishing like that, a great storm occurred and all the devotees had to stay. So there in Puri, Advaita Chandra was able to serve Lord Chaitanya by himself, was able to feed him with many preparations. And Mahaprabhu said, Krishna fulfills the desires, all your desires. So what is unusual about Indra carrying out your orders? So then there's unlimited pastimes during this 18 years of Vaitachandra, the devotees in Puri. And then, near the end of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, Advaita Chandra sent a riddle. You know what a riddle is? A word play with a message. To Lord Chaitanya in Puri. He was actually staying in Navadvip. When Advaita Chandra returned to Navadvip from Puri, he met Jagannanda Pandit. Jagannanda Pandit was sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to look after Sachi Devi's needs. Jagannanda Pandit in Krishna Leela is Satyabhama. Sent there earlier. Advaita was very happy to have his association. When Jagannanda Pandit finally asked permission of Advaita to return to Nilachal, because he would bring messages back and forward between Lord Chaitanya and Sachi Devi, Advaita gave him a message to tell Mahaprabhu. The riddle was comprehensible to no one but Mahaprabhu himself. So, I'll tell you the riddle now with the explanation, but see if you can understand the riddle. The message was, tell the Lord that I pay him 1,000,000 obeisances and that I humbly submit to him the following. Are you ready for the riddle? Tell the madman that everyone has gone mad. Tell the madman that they are no longer selling rice in the market. Tell the madman that the crazies are no longer good for anything. Tell the madman that this is what the madman has said. I studied it last night, so I understand it. But here's the explanation. Bhaktivinod explains this riddle in this way. Tell Mahaprabhu that everyone has become intoxicated with love for Krishna. So it's okay if people call you mad. It's a good sign, actually. Devotees are mad. Tell Mahaprabhu that everyone has become intoxicated with love for Krishna, and so in the marketplace of love, no one is buying rice, the rice of Krishna Prem, any longer. They all have full stock. Tell Mahaprabhu that the crazies, owl in Bengali, are so intoxicated with love that they are no longer doing their material duties. They've forgotten varnashram and jnana and karma. Tell Mahaprabhu that Advaita said this in a state of complete intoxication with prema. In short, the message was that the purpose for which Advaita had called Mahaprabhu to earth had been achieved. Now the Lord may do as he wishes. So that meant, you have come and you've brought Krishna prema. Now you can do as you wish. You can stay or... Advaita Acharya, the avatar of Mahavishnu, appeared in this world on the seventh day of the waxing moon, Shukla Saptami, in the month of Magh. This tithi is also known as Advaita Saptami. That's today. So in that way, Advaita Chandra said, now you have fulfilled my desire, and you can stay or you can leave as you see fit. Please don't feel burdened by my desire. So, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left shortly after, some years later. Mahaprabhu stayed on the earth 48 years, right? He appeared in 1486. And then Advaita Chandra stayed, as it said, if you remember, 1559. He stayed some years later. So this is a short summary of the unlimited pastimes of Advaita Chandra, who is Mahavishnu, Lord Shiva. I hope you've taken happiness and some rasa from this recitation. Any imperfections, any mistakes, misstatement, you please forgive me. But today especially is Advaita Chandra. So we are all in his debt because he brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed the sadhya, the goal of life, and the sadhana, the means of attainment. Sri Advaita Chandra Prabhu ki jai. Sri Advaita Chandra Prabhu ki jai. Appearance day of Sri Advaita Chandra ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Sadhu Sangha Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita Srimadi Tulsi Devi Vrindavan Dhamma ki Sri Sri Gornitai Krishna Balaram Radha Sham Sundar Lalit Vishaka Shalagram Maharaja ki jai.